Hello, my restless witches. I'm just sitting down to the tarot reading that I do for patrons every month, and I've been thinking about a question that I got from one of my patrons. And sometimes these things are easier for me to talk through than just to type through, so I thought that I would record a little preamble to this tarot reading to share with everybody. Come with me on a journey from concept to cards. Welcome to episode 12 of Witchcraft for the Restless. This reading is largely inspired by the trend of foraging. And I say trend because it has become a really big trend to forage for edible wild plants. And while that is fantastic in some aspects, I think that we should all be eating more wild food, but we need to be doing that sustainably. Whenever I learn a lesson about plants, my tendency is to then take that lesson and see what the plants can teach me about my own life. So in thinking about sustainable foraging of plants, it's brought me to thinking more about sustainable harvest of my own productivity and my own energy. So this spread is inspired by foraging for food, but we're applying that to our own energies and motivations and lessons that we can learn. Before we jump in, I had a question from my newest patron, Ladybug. Thank you so much, Ladybug, for your patronage, and thank you so much for your comments on the posts as well. I really enjoy reading those a lot. And I wanted to say hi before we jump into the reading, because they had a question about how I come up with spreads and my process in reading cards and interpreting cards that are new to me. So I'll talk a little bit about my process in coming up with this spread. Firstly, I start with the season. What's happening in nature right now? That's typically my very first starting place for most things. Rituals, spell work, readings. That's just my go-to starting place. What's happening outside my window right now? And early spring is really, really popular for new foragers and experienced foragers alike to get out there and start scouting out foraging patches and keeping an eye on patches that we might want to return to later in the season to harvest from, as well as keeping an eye out for those early spring specialties that are just here and gone in a fleeting moment. Things like ostrich fern fiddleheads and morels and ramps. Those things draw a lot of foragers out in the early spring. So, since that's what's happening seasonally, I had foraging on the mind, and with foraging becoming such a large trend, sustainability, land stewardship, and conservation have really felt extra important to know and share about. Foraging has become so popular that there are online content creators whose accounts focus solely on foraging, which is huge. If you tried to find a foraging community even like, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, it was a really small niche interest, like small local gathering groups, which usually consisted of a bunch of older people who had been going to the same patches for like decades. I haven't been involved in foraging for very long at all, probably maybe 5-6 years at this point. I started learning about and getting involved in foraging when I started my clinical herbal education. I've been in the same couple of Facebook groups since then, and it has been really interesting to watch the numbers just skyrocket this year. And when there are a lot of newcomers in a space like that, it means that the number of really uneducated guesses about species goes up, as well as the sorts of questions that just sound dangerous to begin with. The sorts of Facebook questions you see that are like, hey, I already ate half of this mushroom. Can someone identify it for me? Like, the number of those that we see in those groups has really, really gone up a lot. So it's just been on my mind and being of concern for me lately. And this is by no means disparaging at all towards any content creators that make foraging content and have built a platform on that. I absolutely love that this information is out there. There's two content creators that I'm specifically thinking of when I'm thinking about this responsible information on the internet. One is Alexis Nicole, aka Black Forager, on Instagram. Her channel is super fun and full of really great information, as is Chaotic Forager on TikTok. I am not sure if they, hold on, have an Instagram. Let me see. I found them. Chaotic Forager on TikTok is G Serberville Composter on Instagram, Gabrielle Serberville. And I'll put their link and Nicole's in the show notes as per usual. But yeah, this boom in popularity is not necessarily a bad thing, especially if people are getting their information from responsible sources like these. It's just that when the popularity comes in places like TikTok, you can't fit all of the disclaimers and information that you would need to forge responsibly into a 60-second video. Which means that it's up to us content consumers to then do our own further research before we go out and try to forage like these really experienced, knowledgeable people. And of course, this problem is not the fault of these content creators. They didn't create the problem of people not doing further research before they jump in. Newcomers are just part of the territory when something becomes popular. I love that these content creators are encouraging responsible wildcrafting and foraging instead of just discouraging it outright. Discouraging any foraging at all just outright kind of just feels like absence-only education. And the plants and land that actually rely on human interaction to proliferate won't be able to thrive nearly as well as when their populations are closely monitored and cultivated by us for foraging purposes. So, if you are going to forage for plants, if you're going to be taking anything out of its place in nature, please do so responsibly and sustainably. But this reading isn't about plants. This is about ourselves. We are reading about the problems in our own lives and the things that we might need to think through a bit closer. So, with that foraging, sustainability, land stewardship, everything like that on the mind, I started to think about what are the specific things to keep in mind when you're foraging responsibly. And that's how I started coming up with the card placements. The main things to consider when you're foraging for plants are, is it safe for you as a person? And is it safe for the environment? I.e., would it be sustainable and responsible for you to harvest this specific species as well as this many individual plants? Things like identifying the species correctly, what percentage of the population is safe to harvest and take for yourself, and what percentage do you need to leave in place and leave to repopulate and proliferate. And it still sounds like it's all about plants, but then all you have to do is turn that on yourself like a mirror and look at your life as if it were a patch of harvestable environment. So if your life was a little patch of forest, you might have some resources available to you that are abundant and easy to identify and easy to grab and use when you need to. These are tried and true tools that you can reach for at any time, and they're easy for you to reach for. You don't really forget about them, but then some things that grow in your forest environment of a life are not safe for us to consume. Maybe this is a relationship that you need to maintain in your life just out of necessity, but that you need to limit your exposure to. Or maybe it's a little bit harder to identify than that. Maybe it's a species that has a lot of safe lookalikes, but this particular one is not safe. Something like maybe a thought pattern that you thought was helping you out, but really it's just digging you deeper in a spiral. Or maybe this is a lifestyle or a hobby or a habit that feels like it's good for you, feels like it's doing a good thing, but it's actually the dangerous lookalike of that good thing. And maybe it's not doing you any good to harvest those harmful things from your living environment. Identifying the species and the safety of the species takes care of the first four cards in this spread. Altogether, we have 7 cards. So for card placement number 1, we have safe and easy to identify. These are habits, tools, relationships, or lifestyles. Things that are safe and easy to recognize as safe, and we can really lean into those when things get a little bit tougher. And then for card placement number 2, we have safe and not so easy to identify. This behavior or thought pattern or person, whatever it may be, is good to have in your life, but it might look like something that is dangerous, or it might feel like it's a little bit more difficult and it might feel a bit outside of your comfort zone. Because maybe there are things that have been bad for you in your life that have felt and looked a bit similar. And then for card placement number 3, we have the inverse of that. These are things that are dangerous, not good for us to cultivate, but they have a lot of safe lookalikes. And like I was saying earlier, these would be things like thought patterns, habits, people that seem like they would be good for us. They felt really great at the beginning, and maybe they feel and look and seem really similar to a lot of habits that are really good for us. But just like getting to know how to ID a dangerous plant species, that has a lot of lookalikes, recognizing the toxic thought patterns, behaviors, actions, people in our lives that seem like they would be good for us because they are similar to other things that are good for us is a skill that's about refining the nuance that you can see things with. Just like you would be spotting the difference between two very similar plants, you'll be spotting the difference between two very similar behaviors or actions, what have you, and how our body and mind reacts to those behaviors and actions and what have you. And then card placement number 4 is dangerous species that are easy to identify. So these are things in our life that are very much not good for us, and we know they're not good for us. And this card placement is about the reminder to steer clear of them, but to be aware of them and know that those things are in our life. They're in our forested ecosystem for a reason. They may serve a purpose to another part of our life, but right now we're not harvesting that species. And then card placement number 5 is all about how much of that population can we harvest. Will this be a time of slow input and quiet growth and letting these lessons and species populate the forest of our lives without much disturbance or harvest yet? Or is this a time for reaping the rewards of the energy that we've already put in? So instead of energy input, this would be energy output. So card number 5 is all about how much of this population and how much of these life lesson-y plants we're harvesting right now. Which brings us to card placement number 6. And these are the species and plants that we are leaving in place to repopulate and to proliferate. These are things that we will need to draw on later. These will be things that we need to draw on later, but for now they are just quietly growing and taking the time they need to develop into maturity. And then finally, the 7th card is from the Botanica Inspirations Oracle. And this card is the overall species that we're working with. Like, what is the vibe? What are the types of life lessons that we're working on? What are the overall larger themes that we are looking at these cards through? So that's a little look at what goes into the process behind coming up with these spreads and how I interpret the cards. If you'd like to read the full tarot reading for this month, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/therestiswitch and join us on the Glenn Strider tier or higher. There you can get things like these monthly tarot readings, and if you're a Pond Sprite, you'll be getting a gift that matches the reading for the month. Still not sure what that is because I have yet to finish this reading. But every month I send a gift that I hand make to my Pond Sprites, and I love doing that so much. Last month was a crocheted bookmark in the shape of a little sprout because the theme was germination, and they're so cute and I kept one for myself. So yeah, I'm just as excited as you are to see what I send out this month because I'm not sure yet. This isn't the only episode that will be appearing on the main feed this month. On the 20th, I'll be posting a special 420 themed episode, which was originally a Patreon bonus, but in honor of all of the states that are legalizing, it seems like it's been quite a time for cannabis legalization. I'll be posting it as a bonus episode on this feed. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. You can find me on Instagram and Tumblr at The Restless Witch and Twitter at Restless_Witch. You can find The Restless Witch's shop on Etsy for handcrafted beeswax ritual candles and custom crocheted items. You can send a voice message to the show to be included in Wrestlings from the Grove via the link in the show notes, or send me an email at therestlesswitch@gmail.com. The music in this episode is Harvest by Those of Willow. You can find more of their music on freemusicarchive.com. Witchcraft for the Restless is written, produced, edited, hosted, everythinged by me, Kai, the Restless Witch. Thank you again so much for listening. Stay curious, witches.
I've got a secret.
My secret this month isn't really a secret. It's more of a tip relating to foraging. So, you know those plant identification apps that have become really popular recently? I generally loathe them. They tend to be inaccurate and give answers to things that aren't even native to your area. This goes for most of the species ID apps out there, except for one that I've come across. iNaturalist and the app Seek by iNaturalist are fantastic. You can narrow search results by locale, and it can identify species in real time as you're looking at it through your phone's camera. Of course, this is still a little bit fallible, and I still urge you to do secondary research. And if you're not beyond 100% sure, please double and triple check in extra field guides and with other experienced foragers. This is, of course, especially important if it's something edible that you're harvesting, but it's important for any species that you're going to be taking out of its place in nature. You don't want to be accidentally harvesting a threatened or endangered species. So, if you're interested in learning to identify species of plants and animals, iNaturalist is a pretty great place to start. Happy April, and stay curious, witches!